Earlier this week, a chilling online article detailed the horrors experienced by three supporters of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and his 2011 collective bargaining agenda that was accused of being hostile to organized labor. The article details how the three people found police barging into their homes in the middle of the night, rifling through every conceivable nook, cranny, and electronic device, and all of it because a local prosecutor marshaled the police to target political opponents. My next guest says, sadly, this is not the exception anymore, but increasingly the rule. John Whitehead is president of the Rutherford Institute and author of the new book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People. And Mr. Whitehead, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, sir.
Well, you wrote a book just a couple of years ago called A Government of Wolves, describing how you saw an emerging police state, and now you obviously detail in this book how you believe it's getting much worse. One of your greatest frustrations that you write about is that the American people don't seem to have any instinct to fight back against greater and greater government and police intrusion in our lives. Why do you think that's the case?
They're not getting the news. In other words, if you watch just regular television news, you don't realize that there are 80,000 SWAT team raids. There were only 3,000 of those in the early 1980s. There are 80,000 annually now occurring across the United States. 80% of those SWAT team raids are for what we used to call warrant service, where a policeman would come and knock on your door. Some of the egregious cases where decorated Marines are getting shot in their home because they think burglars are coming through the door in the middle of the night. It's actually a SWAT team in the wrong home. They're getting killed. Babies are getting burned. These are all cases detailed in my book, Battlefield America. How many Americans know that the NSA now is downloading 2 billion of your emails a day, American citizens, text messages? They admit to hacking into 160,000 Facebook pages today to see what you're doing. And some of the cases we get involved at the Rutherford Institute, people are doing anti-Obama, just regular free speech things about Obama. They're getting raided for it. Some have actually been arrested for it. And we've helped them out and got them out of the situation. But the government's watching everything you're doing. So what I'm telling people is we are in a police state right now. The question is, can we push it back?
You think there may have been a very critical template a couple of years ago. We just got done with the conviction of Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. You say the basic lockdown of the entire Boston area when police were on the search for him and his brother a couple of years ago is a chilling turning point in American police history. Explain why.
Well, it was martial law, but, the government, by the way, has been conducting martial law exercises since the early 1980s in this country, basically how to lock the government down. And there's these Jade Helm exercises that are going on in eight different states now where they're actually detaining American citizens. I don't know if you saw the fellow in Ocala, Florida, who saw a military vehicle go by. He flipped the bird because he didn't like it. Come to find out, it was the local police. They pulled him over for an illegal hand sign, but when the police got out, they were in camouflaged outfits. What the Founding Fathers told us, George Washington especially, he was screaming, basically saying, don't ever have a standing army on American soil. You will regret it. And with the Department of Homeland Security handing out over $5 billion of military equipment, grenade launchers, MRAPs, mine-resistant armor protection vehicles that they use over in Afghanistan, sniper rifles, all the things you see in war zones, local police have those now. Stingray devices police have now handed out by the federal government. They drive by your home. They're fake cell phone towers. They download everything you're doing in your cell phone so they can track you, and they do track you, by the way.
John, obviously when folks look at this, you say they're kind of in a low information point right now because the mainstream news doesn't cover it much. We get a major horrific event like 9/11. That leads to the TSA. People say, okay, we don't want another horrific event, so we'll go along with this. Boston Marathon, they see a bombing of one of their iconic events, and, well, we have to get them in custody, so we'll stay in our homes. So they're thinking specific crisis, specific concessions, but you're saying this is obviously a trip down the wrong road.
It's a trip down the wrong road. We have to be very, very careful. And then we have to listen to the author of the Bill of Rights, James Madison. He told us we ought to mistrust all those in power. You have to be careful, you know, these days with what we're seeing in government, especially government agents. It was just revealed that the FBI forensic lab in 90% of the cases in several decades was giving the wrong information. There were 32 people convicted that went to death row. 14 had been killed on false information. This is the FBI. I have a whole section on the FBI, by the way, in my book, Battlefield America. I don't think we should be paranoid. I think we just need to be informed and realize that there are things we can do. We can get involved in our local communities. How many people know that there's a thing called the National Defense Authorization Act that Obama had signed into being, which allows the military to come to your door if he thinks you're an extremist, not a terrorist, and have you arrested by the military, taken away, put in a detention camp where you can't see your lawyer or your family? Several states now have nullified it, saying we will not go along with that. And by the way, crime is at a 40-year low, according to the FBI in America. The murder rate in 2013, it was the lowest murder rate in America in a century. And you're eight times more likely to get killed by a police officer in America, according to the FBI statistics, than a terrorist. So there are a lot of things going on. I think if you look at the statistics, we have to be alarmed. We have to be careful. We don't want to become conspiratorialists. By the way, I have 40 pages of footnotes in my book, so I document everything I say.
One of the big stories over the past year, and certainly since your previous book came out, and again, we're talking with John Whitehead, the book is Battlefield America, are the tensions we saw with police in Ferguson, Staten Island, and now more recently South Carolina, police shootings involving black victims, and the debate has gotten very intense and usually falls somehow along party lines. That is not at all how you characterize it, though, in the book. What are you seeing in these cases?
Well, what I'm seeing in these cases is, especially with the police shootings of unarmed citizens. By the way, just to let you know, in January of this year and half of February, more unarmed citizens were killed in this country by police than in the other five industrial countries of the world, the large countries. You're talking about China, Great Britain, countries like that. So for some reason we have an epidemic, but I actually work with some policemen who teach in the academies now, and they say the training in the academies is very, very military, and how the police view us is much different than how Barney Fife and Andy Griffith viewed us about 40 years ago. In fact, I have police now using the term when they refer to American citizens as civilians. I've actually corrected a few policemen and said, by the way, I'm not a civilian, I'm a citizen, and so are you, sir. So we things have changed. If you study it, again, I document it in my book very thoroughly. We have to be concerned.
Again, John Whitehead is the author of Battlefield America. And John, there's always a discussion about if you're in law enforcement or maybe even the military, about obeying orders you find either morally wrong or perhaps unconstitutional. Based on what we're seeing, are we seeing that type of moral conflict in officers, or are they just following orders?
They're following orders, basically. In fact, I have a whole section on it. The psychological studies show that that's happening. They've been there, and by the way, I quote a number of major police, former police chiefs that agree with what I'm saying in my book. Something's gone wrong. In fact, what they're saying is the psychological studies is when police put on camouflage outfits or those black outfits and SWAT team gear, it actually affects their psychology and they view us much different than they used to view us. So we're dealing with a different situation now. But, you know, there are some communities that are getting in an uproar and when they see a SWAT team raid. For example, what happened in Ventura, California not too long ago when the police went through a door in a home and a mother and a father and the parents, who had done nothing wrong, by the way, they were in the wrong home, the SWAT team, they said, by the way, we have a year-old baby sleeping in that room. Please, I don't want to keep my baby safe. One cop actually pushed the door open and threw a flashbang grenade in the room and burned the baby. This is after the mother pleading for him not to do it.
John, in your book, you also talk about what the road ahead could look like if the American people don't fight back and challenge their government and law enforcement in some way. And you talk a lot about what happened in Germany and under the Third Reich. And, of course, in any debate, especially when you talk about how you don't want to get conspiratorial, you're going to have people saying, really? You're really comparing us to Hitler or that we could be on the road to Hitler? So how do you respond to charges that you're perhaps going too far in that direction?
There are a number of people like former presidential advisor Bertram Gross, by the way, a historian who worked as an advisor under Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman, who basically has said the same thing in a number of issues. A number of people are talking about this, but as I show in my book, and I'll argue it. I don't have any problem. I'll argue it well, I think, with footnotes. We're following that Nazi Germany kind of blueprint. And I tell people, the police state doesn't come with trumpets. How many people realize that in 1938, Time magazine named Adolf Hitler the man of the year? How many people know in 1939 he he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. This is why he was getting ready to make war. How many people know that Mussolini was called a financial genius by American publications, and Winston Churchill lauded him as a financial genius while he was setting up the fascist regime? So we can be deluded. We were deluded then. I don't want us to get deluded now. And what I'm telling people in my book, I have an action plan at the end of the book. Get active, folks. Get up off your duffs and get active in your local communities. And you can keep liberty here, but it's up to the American people. Remember, the first three words of the Constitution are, we the people. We are the government. So if this country goes down, it's going to be our fault.
Well, let's conclude on that point, because obviously you do have a plan of action. But after reading all this and seeing how the deck is allegedly stacked against us, they can see every communication that we have. They know what we're doing. They're obviously got a whole lot more firepower than any citizen's going to have, and all sorts of things seem to be working in the opposite direction. How do people ultimately get control back?
Well, there was a guy named Martin Luther King who changed the face of the country with nonviolence. That's what I argue in my book. He said that, you know, right before he died, he wrote an essay that came out after he was shot, where he says we need militant, nonviolent resistance. He says the government does not listen to us. We're going to have to get really active, take over governmental bodies, those kind of things. And you can do that in your local community. If your local community is not outraged when a baby gets burned by a flashbang grenade and a SWAT team raid, they should. You can set up oversight committees and make sure that those SWAT team members are called in, they're corrected, they won't do that again. So there are things you can do locally, but the average American watches about 150 hours of television a month. If you're sitting, you're not doing. So I'm telling people, give me 80 hours of that watching time for involvement in local government. Set policies and change what you're doing in your own hometown.
John, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you, sir.
John Whitehead is president of the Rutherford Institute. The book is Battlefield America, The War on the American People. John Whitehead is president of the Rutherford Institute. The book is Battlefield America, The War on the American People. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.